Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Just remember the scene. So Jesus is up the mountain. He's speaking and he's teaching his disciples, those who are following him, those who are saved. But the crowds are there also listening and looking on. So let's rejoin the action. Verse 19 of chapter 6. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Please do take a seat. And as you do, let's turn to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we simply ask now that as we come to this, your holy word, that you would teach us, that you would show us yourself in these words, that you would be changing and transforming our lives through what we hear this morning. So, Father, please do us good. Please cut us to the heart. Please show us our sin. And please show us our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what impact Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount has had on you as we've spent time over the last few weeks looking at it. For those of us who would call themselves disciples of our Lord Jesus, that is, those who have been saved and brought into the royal family by the blood and work of the Lord Jesus, who are now lifelong learners of him, as disciples, I'd be surprised if there's anyone here who would say that they haven't been challenged or struck or cut to the heart and led to mourning over our sin as we've seen this teaching, listened to this teaching of Jesus. You see, Jesus' teaching is extremely radical and is extremely practical to us. And the teaching we've seen is kind of all-encompassing. It covers the fine details of life. So we've heard Jesus speak on murder and hate, on marriage and our speech, and love for those who oppose us. And last week we heard about the danger of doing right things for wrong reasons. And whether or not this is your first Sunday with us up the mountain listening to the Lord Jesus, let me remind everyone here that Jesus is firstly speaking to us as disciples, to his saved people. What Jesus teaches here then, and what he teaches us today, isn't a way of us to be saved, but how we are to live as his saved and rescued people. And today Jesus has something to teach his disciples about money and possessions, and in particular to challenge our attitudes towards them, to show us how we should rightly view the stuff that we have. And very simply, the punchline to what Jesus is saying is found in the last verse of our reading. So if you look down at verse 24 and just the final seven words, Jesus says, "You cannot serve both God and money." You cannot serve both God and money. And a closer reading of this in the original language is actually something like, "You cannot be a slave to both God and mammon." So mammon meaning money, but all possessions that we have. So it includes money, but it doesn't resort just to that. It's anything we put our confidence in, our security in. So it could be our bank balance, but it could be a job. or reputation, or maybe even a relationship. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. Now, even as I read those words, there may be some here who think, well, actually, I can do that, actually. I've been doing that for much of my life. But Jesus doesn't say, don't serve both God and money. He says, you cannot serve God and money. So if you think you can, then perhaps actually your loyalty is more to money and our possessions, and that's the part we're devoted to. But God requires our whole being. He requires every part of us to be devoted to him, which is why he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Our great God wants all of us. You cannot serve both God or money. One of them will win. One of them will win in our lives, and it will be God or money. So let me ask some questions so we can begin to probe where our devotion really lies. What is it that occupies your mind most of the time? What do you daydream about? What's your first thought when you get up in the morning and when you go to sleep? What is it that you plunge your energy and your time and your resources into? Is it into the service of God or into the service of money? Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. That's the big point this morning. And really, we're just going to spend our time just thinking through what that means and how we could be sure, if we're disciples, that we are fully devoted to our great God. You see, we may kid ourselves or kid other people around us, but as we've seen in recent weeks, God sees our hearts. He sees right into us. He sees the attitudes. We can't hide them from him. You can hide them from others, but you can't hide them from God. He sees right through us. So what are we really devoted to? Is it God or money? God or our possessions? Now, to help us, we're firstly going to take a trip to the earthly and heavenly storerooms found in verses 19 to 21. And then we're going to go take a trip to the opticians in verses 22 to 23. So first, let's go to the storerooms with this question. How can disciples be confident of being fully devoted to God? What's that going to look like? Well, firstly, devoted disciples of Jesus will be heaven hoarders. Look with me at verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Last summer, we moved house, and so inevitably that involves a lot of packing and unpacking. And never more so then when you do that, do you realize just how much stuff you have? How many shoes your wife has? How much junk you have around the house? She told me to say that. Now, it might just be our family, but I'm sure if it's true for you. Now, when you pack, you have your ordered boxes, you have the things that you use all the time. And then you turn into your loft or your garage if you have one, and then you start to look in those boxes and think, what is this stuff? And you find things that you've either forgot you had or didn't know you had in the first place. Now, to some extent, I think that's true of all of us, isn't it? It might just be me, but I think actually it's true of all of us. We like to store things. We like to keep hold of things. And in our passage, what I've just read, Jesus' words, it reveals that actually in this life, we are those who store. We either store here on earth, or we're those who store in heaven. Or as put here, we're those who store our treasure here or treasure in heaven. So which are we? Do we store our treasure here or in heaven? Now the word treasures may have you thinking about a pirate and he's holding like a treasure chest and it's got loads of gold in it. And clearly that isn't what Jesus is talking about here. What Jesus is saying is that our treasure is what matters most to us. the things that we love, the things that are most precious to us, the things we spend our time pursuing. That's our treasure. And Jesus says strongly, don't store treasure on earth. Store treasure in heaven. Be a heaven hoarder. Well, why is that? Why is this a mark of someone who's a devoted disciple? Well, firstly, be a heaven hoarder, because treasure on earth is temporary and it never satisfies. So just look again at verse 19. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Think of what you value most in this life. If it's something that's physical, like money, a career, an object, or even a person, these things in life are temporary. What you store on earth will corrode and be destroyed, or stolen, or taken away. The moths will come, or the thieves will break in and steal. And actually, even if the treasured possession you thought of survives during your lifetime, then what good will it do when you reach your final hour on earth? Because you cannot take earthly treasures with you. We bring nothing into this life, and we could take nothing out of it. Jesus says something very similar in a parable about a rich fool. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. See, Jesus warns us today. Are you devoting too much time on treasures that will not last? Are there selfish ambitions that you need to confess this morning? Are there things in your life at the moment that you're spending an unhealthy amount of time thinking about or planning for or working towards? Earthly treasures are temporary. They will not last. Now, Jesus isn't saying that money and our possessions aren't important. Of course not. That's why in the passage directly after this, where we'll be next week, Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. That's in verse 32. But we aren't to be so consumed by money and our possessions and just by stuff that we end up devoting our lives chasing after them. Don't chase after the temporary treasures of this world, Jesus says. So then that begs the question, doesn't it? Well, how should we view our stuff, all the things that we have? Well, I think it's worth remembering where our money and our possessions actually come from. Because are they not given to us by God? And when we consider Jesus has just taught this prayer to his disciples from verse 9, he says this, doesn't he? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus has just taught them, our concern as devoted disciples should be for his will. We're accountable to him for our stuff. So the question really becomes, how can I use my temporary money and possessions that have been entrusted to me by God? How can I use my stuff for his glory? You see, if we ask that question each day, we'll be in far less danger of going astray and starting to store earthly treasures, because we'll be reminding ourselves of God's goodness to us and of God's agenda and reminding ourselves that God's will is greater than ours. Jesus says, be a heaven hoarder, because earthly treasures are temporary. And secondly, heavenly treasures are eternal. You see, look at verse 20. So don't store them on treasures on earth. Verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Put simply, treasure in heaven will last forever. Nothing can destroy it, and no one can come in and steal it. Now, two questions may have arisen in your mind as we read those verses again. See, what is this treasure? How do we pursue heavenly treasure? What does that look like? Well, firstly, I just want to say, I don't think it means some sort of financial account in heaven that has our name on it, that when we do something good, it's kind of storing money in. I think it has far more to do with our eternal relationship with our Father in heaven. You see, as we've seen throughout chapter 6, and what Phil reminded us this morning with the kids' talk, those who are in the secret service, our Father in heaven rewards his disciples as we do what he says. So just have a look at the end of verse 18, the verse before our passage. Just at the end it says, "And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." What better treasure can there be in heaven than just being with our great rescuing God, who looks at his disciples who are washed, who have been cleaned by Jesus' death on the cross, and he says to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." See, devoted disciples will be heaven hoarders. And in this life, this will be seen by our pursuit of a personal relationship with the living God. So let me ask some other questions. Are you serious about your pursuit of that relationship, the relationship you have with the Lord? Do you spend more time wrestling with God's word and talking with your Father in heaven? Or do you spend more time chasing after possessions or watching TV or playing Xbox or whatever it is? You see, what did Jesus' life on earth reveal about what he was storing or where he was storing his treasure? Well, he spent all of his time devoted to his Father's will. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." See, Jesus spent his life teaching about the kingdom of God, performing miracles to show a taste of the kingdom of God. And when he wasn't doing those things, what did he do? Well, he withdrew to quiet places and he prayed. And he prayed that he would continue to be fully devoted to his God. So remember those words in the Garden of Gethsemane before Jesus went to die on the cross for sinners like me. Jesus said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." He says, "Father, I'm fully devoted to you. I will not even withhold my very life from you in order to save people from their sins and to do what you have purposed from all eternity." Jesus says in verse 21 of our passage, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is your treasure? Are you storing treasure on earth? Or are you storing treasure in heaven? Are you wasting your life pursuing what is temporary, things that won't last? Or are you starting to live life to the full, pursuing an eternal relationship with God that can never perish, spoil, or fade? So devoted disciples will be heaven hoarders. That's the first thing we've seen. But secondly, devoted disciples will be generous givers. Let me just read verse 22 to 23 again. "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, I did promise a trip to the opticians here because it talks about eyes. But you may well be thinking, well, it talks of eyes here. How have we got generous givers? What is that all about? So let's work together here. You need to work so I can show you what Jesus is saying. So to start with, just notice, okay, the simple point that verse 19 to 21 and verse 24 are all speaking about our devotion and about God or money, okay? So verses 22 to 23 have to be talking about the same thing. Jesus hasn't just gone on a, throw in another side point here. So now let's consider the image itself. So the eye is described as letting light into the body. So just for a minute, imagine a dark room in your house. Perhaps it's your bedroom. And in the morning, you get up and you open the curtains, maybe pull up the blinds. And when you do that, what happens? Well, probably first of all, you kind of get that squinty look because you've been in the darkness for such a long time. But once you've let the light in, the light fills the room and you can now see. Before then, the room was in darkness. Perhaps you stumble over those clothes that someone's left on the floor. But when light enters, you can see clearly. Jesus says, if your eyes are healthy, then you will see clearly. And if your eyes are unhealthy, then you will stumble in the darkness. Okay? That's the first thing to see. Are you still with me? We've got a little bit of work to do. Now, to get to the heart of the meaning, we need to understand that there's a play of words here in the original language. So look at healthy. So healthy here means single-minded or one purpose, an undivided loyalty. And in the context of being someone devoted, a healthy eye then is one that's fixed on God alone. Now, if you look down at your Bibles to where it says healthy, you'll see next to it a little letter C, which prompts you to look down at the footnotes at the bottom of the page. And it says this, the footnote. The Greek for healthy here implies generous. And it's the same word used for generosity in many places in the New Testament, such as in 2 Corinthians 8, when Paul describes the rich generosity of one church to another. Now look at unhealthy in verse 23, and there's a little D. It's the same point, let's go to the footnote, and it says, the Greek for unhealthy here implies stingy. Now you may be thinking, why are we laboring this point? Is this really worth the effort to kind of seal this? Well, yes, I think it is. It's not just me trying to make a point. My job is to try and show you what the text is saying. So then what is Jesus' big point? Well, Jesus says that those with healthy eyes who walk in the light will be those who are generous, who are open-handed with their stuff on earth. Those with unhealthy eyes will be those who stumble in the darkness and will be stingy, will be tight-fisted with their stuff. That's what he's saying. Which are you this morning? Which am I this morning? Devoted disciples will be generous givers. And the reason why is that their eye is on what is ahead. Their prize is in heaven and not now. Their gaze is fixed on God above. And that sets the course for their whole lives. So the treasures of this world mean so much less to a disciple because they know that they're temporary. You see, disciples, devoted disciples, won't put their trust and their security in passing treasures because they know they won't last. So disciples hold their money and possessions lightly so that when they are destroyed, when they are taken away, their hope and their hearts don't go with it. Disciples of Jesus will be marked for not chasing after the things of this world. And they'll be marked for using their money and their stuff for the good of others. Devoted disciples will be generous givers. And again, isn't our Lord Jesus the greatest example of this? He did not withhold his life or his great riches from us. We read later in the New Testament, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. The Lord Jesus is a generous Savior. His eyes were always fixed on his Father in heaven and always fixed on being generous towards others. How are your eyes today? I said we'd be at the opticians. How are your eyes? Are your eyes healthy or unhealthy? Are your eyes fixed on your Father in heaven? Or are they fixed on the passing treasures of this world? Are you a generous giver or a stingy Scrooge? Are you open-handed with your things? Or are you tight-fisted? Now, again, it's worth saying these are marks of a disciple, one who has been forgiven by God and brought into the saved family. So please don't hear these words this morning of Jesus and think that you can be saved just by being a little bit generous towards someone else. You see, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But devoted disciples will be heaven hoarders and generous givers because they are devoted to Jesus, the perfect example of those things. They will be distinct. They will be light in the darkness because they follow Jesus. So if you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus here this morning, your first priority is to come to him, to confess to him how, like all of us, like me, that naturally we're those who spend our life chasing after money and possessions and temporary things. And you need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and to change you, that you may grow to be a devoted disciple of Jesus, who is a heaven hoarder and a generous giver. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot be devoted to both God and money. Who are you serving? Is it God or is it money? As I've reflected on these truths, it made me think of the song Amazing Grace. In the last verse it says, I won't sing it to you, and it has often been sung from the front, but I won't sing it to you. It says this: when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You see, disciples of Jesus, here this morning, in 10,000 years' time, when you're standing in heaven praising God, will you regret devoting your whole time and effort and resources and money and your life to God? Will you? You can participate if you like. I've a few of these. Will you regret it? No. Will you miss the treasures of earth? This is awful. No, we won't. We won't miss them. Why? Well, in part because they'll be gone, because they were temporary. The only regret there will be, if it was possible, is that we didn't more wholeheartedly devote our lives to God, to be heaven hoarders and to be generous givers. You see, let that thought, let these words of our risen Lord Jesus shape our lives today, that we wouldn't waste our lives on passing treasures, but instead fully devote our lives to our Father in heaven. You see, that relationship will last forever. Let's devote our time to that. In Hebrews, we read these words: let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. May we be marked by these truths and shaped by these words of Jesus this morning. Let me lead us in a prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we firstly just want to say sorry for the times where we have been more occupied with our eyes and our minds and our hearts with the treasures of this life. Father, we're sorry because we recognize afresh this morning that they don't last, they don't satisfy. You tell us again and again that money, our possessions, are kind of cruel masters. But we thank you for your mercy to us, that you don't treat us as our wickedness and our greed deserves. We thank you that in the Lord Jesus, you sent one who modeled this perfectly to us, who lived a life of full devotion to you, who was tempted in every way we are, but was without sin. When it came to Jesus, there was no question who he was serving. He served God. He served you. And Father, those who have been saved by Jesus, by his death on the cross, May you change us and shape us to be more like him, that we will chase after what is eternal, not what is temporary. Help us to fix our eyes on what is ahead, not what is seen now. Father, it says in your word, these words, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. May that be true of us today. May we set our heart and our minds on you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.